let me ask you this. If you had to do it all again, would you do it differently? Would you make different choices? Choices. From very early on in our story, we learn that we have to make them. Ice cream or pizza, dog or cat, seaside or countryside, Harry Potter or Enid Blyton, plane or train, homework or TV, football or golf, eat in, eat out, Diet Coke or Pepsi, good or bad. And the big questions about how you're going to live your life. Seriously, how are you going to live your life? We have the choice. We had the choices all those years ago, and we have them still. We can choose what principles we will live our life by, what road we will go down. This road, that road. You choose. We choose. I got to think about this a lot as I conducted the funeral of this person or that. I worked out about 1,500 over the years of my ministry. When you consider the poetry of a person's life, who they've been, what they've done, with the opportunity life has presented to them. Have they lived wisely and well and to the full, or have they perhaps not made the most of the gift? Which roads have taken them down which blind alleys? As they look along the corridor of their life at the end and reflect what it's been and who they've been. Serious stuff. And you had to decide. Will faith be in your life? Will God make a difference? Will you let him make a difference? That was your choice. Without being overly dramatic, in all honesty, could there actually be a more important question to address? Will faith be in your life? Will God make a difference? Will you let him make a difference? Check the media and you'll find some of the choices on offer to people, young people. The pursuit of physical beauty, a hunger for celebrity and fame, the enjoyment of brief popularity. At the back of our mind we hear the warning sounds, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We hear the summons of integrity and fidelity, holiness of heart. Meanwhile, Instagram and the like beckon a generation. While the Bible waits, offering spiritual truth, integrity of heart. So why do we believe what we believe really? Why do we dare to refuse the seductions of the world's way and instead opt for the rigours and sacrifices of God's way? As we consider all the choices before us. The wisdom of Solomon describes a possibility, issues a warning about those who made the wrong choice and failed to see what was at stake for them. And you may know some people who went down that cul-de-sac. And they did not know the secret purposes of God, says Solomon, nor hoped for the wages of holiness, nor discerned the prize for blameless souls. The wages of holiness. And what are they? The hidden satisfactions, the inner peace that comes from walking in God's light and truth, sharing his presence in a real and significant way. How does time, money, ambition and sexual license, living for the now, experiencing only the now, versus responsibility, social concern, social obligation? How does there's only me and there's only now, and anyone who thinks differently is a self-deluding fool who will miss out on all the fun? How does that match our life, our story, our choices? There's a message that's heralded loud and clear and has become an industry. And to that we offer the wages of holiness, self-control, restraint, sacrifice, service of others. Have you enjoyed the wages of holiness to walk with God, to try and make the world better, to serve the least and the lowest? That's a choice. Do we still believe that that's where life lies and joy is found? At the end of our life, will we be satisfied that this was the road we took? The psalmist, in his turn, offers us his recipe for a happy and fulfilled life. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, nor take the path that sinners tread, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. What a real act of faith it is to accept this as your lifestyle choice. Base your whole life on that. We shouldn't underestimate the counterculture that creates. An agenda so very different from the person who elects to go down the road of the shallow, the transient, the self-interested, the appetite unrestrained by higher obligations. And what kind of life is the outcome of each choice? What sort of people and what sort of world is formed when we are only living for the superficial, the transient and the hollow? And how different is the world when those in it are committed to God's will and purpose and endeavour to order their lives by his guiding principle? It ain't rocket science. Two very different outcomes, two very different worlds, and the choice is ours. Who do we want to be? Like a tree planted by a river, beautiful, fruitful, sheltering and strong? The gentleness born of wisdom? A wisdom that has nothing to do with academic qualifications. It's about thinking about things and assessing worth and having a quiet understanding of heart and spirit that enables you to see to the core of the matter, to get to the guts of what makes people tick, what does them harm, what roads lead nowhere, where the light is and how to follow it. This understated yet crucial spiritual strength challenges the perceived wisdom of the world that would relegate those without academic qualifications to some intellectual backwater as being of little worth, able to bring little to the party. Not so teaches the Bible. Wisdom is a different thing altogether. My old granny, who left school at 12 and lived all her days in a tiny house in Motherwell with an outside toilet, who never achieved by the measures of the world, she was wise. Full of truth, understanding, depth, compassion, humanity. She knew what made people tick and what undermined their character. And she lived her life with a gentleness born of that wisdom. Her life was not in vain. Though she died without money or property, her legacy was enduring. Now, all this talk is dangerous and subversive, for it directs people away from the pursuit of the things the secular world imbues with value. Directs them towards unseen spiritual realities that do make a person strong with an inner strength, caring with a true tenderness of heart. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. How nice is that? Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like a nice world to live in. So the choice is ours, and is ours every single day. To believe the Bible when it tells us, follow this way and find life in all its depth and purpose, or to reject that recipe and opt for the complete opposite, a life driven from a different centre, deaf to the call to find God's will and do it. Who is right? Which do we believe? Do we trust Christ when he says these terrible, searching, unyieldingly demanding words? Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servants of all. His way. Now, why did he have to say that? This is not what we want to hear. This is so hard. This empties me of self and directs me towards service and sacrifice. And in a world like ours, that notion just seems like a nonsense. Yet we are challenged to sing it and mean it, and to do it. And that is the miracle and the blessing we call the Christian life. And it's your choice.